If you've travelled to Rome in recent years, there's a fair chance that you used Google Maps to get around. And it probably told you how long it takes to get around on foot or by car or on public transport. But now there's another online map that can tell you how long it'd take to get around by ox cart anywhere in the old Roman Empire, say from the capital to Lutetia, which is the Roman Empire predecessor of Paris. That's, by the way, 755 hours by ox cart. The site is called Itinerae, and it's a digital map where all roads lead to ancient Rome, a 21st century recreation of the estimated 300,000 kilometres of road constructed during the Roman Empire. It was developed by researchers at Aarhus University in Denmark, and the lead developer is Dr. Tom Brugmans, Associate Professor in the Department of History and Classical Studies. And Tom joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Tom, or should I say salve?
Hi, nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, tell us about the Itinerae map. I gather it's got 300,000 kilometres of road network. How much of that is, if you like, new mapping? And how did you go about building your map?
Honestly, we were absolutely amazed once we finished our 5 years of work and we counted how long the roads were, that we added 100,000 kilometers. That's about three times around the Earth. It's an incredible length. But not all of it are newly discovered roads. A big reason why we've got this increase is that we tried to make the previous atlas that was available more spatially explicit. So where the previous atlas, which was made at a very coarse resolution, would cut straight through a mountain, we would follow the zigzags up and down the mountain to be more realistic. And so that obviously increases the length. But another reason is that the previous atlas was 25 years old, so there's a lot more data and research that we were able to include, in addition to a couple of newly discovered roads.
Yeah, so what sort of new techniques was it possible for you to use that enabled you to build out the map?
One thing that I'm extremely proud of is that archaeology might sound like an old discipline for old people doing old things, but we've actually kind of changed a lot in the last two decades, especially. There's been a bit of a digital revolution. Thanks to my colleagues digitizing tons of information about ancient places, we were able to play this kind of continental scale game of connecting the dots. So there's databases like Pleiades, which combine about 10,000 ancient places where the Romans lived and worked, like villas, farms, settlements. But especially crucial are digital databases of milestones. We've got about 8,000 of them with Latin inscriptions on them. They were definitely positioned along the roads. And just having access to all of those dots makes our work so much easier than it was 20 years ago when the previous atlas was made.
Let's talk about some of the cool features on the Itinerae digital map. I mentioned one, which is the ability to sort of measure distances and modes of transport. How did you build in that function?
So we didn't call it the Google Maps of the ancient world. That's what the press does. But, you know, we were kind of going for that because, like, one of our aims is to make sure that people around the world are able to access where all of those Roman roads are, kind of explore and be baffled by the extent of that net, but also by some surprising features like the ancient world was slow. Transport was slow. It took an enormous amount of time to get from one place to the other. Like you said earlier, you know, to get from Paris to Rome, that was a huge trek, taking days and days and days. So we kind of tried to follow that kind of interactivity and the style of Google Maps. You know, you can zoom in, you can pan, you can click on a button and go into 3D mode, fly through valleys, but you can also do a route planner where you click on a button and you say, take me from Paris to Barcelona on an ox cart or on a donkey. That's what I want to do this summer. You can try to see what the Romans did.
And reading the background information that's gone into the digital map, another function that you've got, you describe as the confidence map, which color codes how certain you are about the reliability and the completeness of different parts of the map. Tom, what do those colors tell us?
This is very important for us because we are scientists in the first instance. So when people see a map and they see some lines on it, they see, well, that's where the Romans walked. That's where the roads are. That's what the archaeologists have excavated. But that's never really the case. There's like a bit of false confidence in drawing a line. Mm. And we wanted to represent that as openly as possible. So that is why we made this confidence map that you refer to. And basically what we've done is we've quantified how certain we are about every road in many different ways. How certain were the resources that we used, the bibliography, how much excavation has happened in a region, how detailed are our digitizations, all of those kind of things, such that researchers in the future can look at that map and see like, well, that's an area where this atlas is not as representative as it could be. That is where I am going to excavate or survey in the future, and that is where I am going to find the lost roads of the Roman Empire.
So as we know, there are some ancient Roman roads that are even still in use today. I'm assuming they're at the very high confidence level. If we were to think about the things that are at the lower end of your scale, Tom, things that I think show up as yellow on the confidence map, what sort of information is that based on? And what's, I suppose, the dividing line between you saying, okay, we're going to put this on, but it's going to be low confidence versus, we're not sure?
Well, for all of the roads that are included here, we have some form of evidence that there was a road. So there's a pair of places, there's some milestones in between. There is perhaps a literary source that said you could walk from this place to the other. So they are all Roman roads. What this confidence map represents is the location. We are not certain at all about the vast majority of the Roman road locations. And that is kind of what that represents. That could be because, you know, we know that there's a pair of settlements and perhaps a milestone in between, but how do we connect those dots? What we've used is topographic maps, satellite photography, any kind of information we could find to recommend where we think the road went. But we are researchers, we are scientists, we can say that is certain, that is an observation. In archaeology, nothing's observed until it's excavated. 3% of the road locations are certain in our database. Many of those would be excavated segments. That's about 8,000 kilometers. That's huge. You know, that's like walking from Paris to New Delhi. It's a huge track, and it's just 3% of all of the roads of the Roman Empire. So lots of excavation still to be done here.
It's a really cool project, Tom. I wonder if you could give us your thoughts on, if you like, the range of uses of itinerary from just the fun casual observer, but all the way over to what sort of serious academic and archaeological applications you feel this particular way of representing the information opens up.
The Roman Empire was absolutely huge. It lasted for centuries and it was the stage for many important events that affected human history in the region for the next 2,000 years. I'm talking about events like the emergence of early Christianity and its development, becoming a world religion, but also the mass migrations of Germanic peoples, for example, which contributed to the fall of the Western Roman Empire. These are events that took place over roads. These are events for which the roads are important because they structured where the humans could walk, which places were more affected, where people settled. These are the things that I study as a Roman archaeologist. If I want to study these phenomena, I need a really detailed representation of where the roads are. Sadly, that wasn't available 5 years ago, and I thought we could do better, and that is why we've created this digital atlas.
It's a huge undertaking. How many people have been involved in bringing it together, and what sort of resources did you have to marshal to create the really sophisticated digital product that you've ended up with?
So what you're looking at is really the result of 5 years of work by a team of 20 researchers from across Europe and a couple of research projects roughly costing about €1 million. But what it really represents is 200 years of research. We're really standing on the shoulders of giants. I mean, it's not like no one's ever studied Roman roads before. We had tons of resources to draw on. What we've really contributed is trying to aggregate all of that, digitize all of it, make it spatially detailed, and then making it available in an easy way to everyone.
Having undertaken all that work, do you now feel that essentially you've mapped out the core elements of the Roman Empire, or is there more grueling tech data crunching and long-term work to be undertaken, Tom?
We know that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you can look at our paper and look at our confidence map and see that the vast majority is yellow or red. That means a lot more work to be done. But you could also see it for yourself by just zooming in on our map and identifying all of those ancient places where we know the Romans lived, but there's no road leading to them. there are many of these country lanes, secondary roads that are still to be found. And I can tell you, like every single place where Romans lived or worked, there was a road connecting it. Otherwise, they couldn't get to it. So we think hundreds of thousands of kilometers of more Roman roads can be found, especially secondary roads. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
And we're speaking to you in Denmark, Tom. And looking at the map, I noticed there are no Roman roads in Denmark. Is this technology something that you could use to apply to different civilizations and different parts of the world that the Romans didn't get to?
In fact, we are actually collaborating with a project that is based here in Aarhus in Denmark, but also a couple of other universities throughout Europe, which is doing the same, but for early modern Europe, kind of the Hanseatic period, the 16th, 17th century. It's called Via Bundus. And it's also an online interactive map where, you know, if you're not into the Romans, you're more into kind of late medieval and early modern period, go to the Via Bundus website. But definitely the kind of approach that we've applied can be applied to all places where there were ancient road networks. What I find particularly striking, though, is that what the Romans did for the first time in human history is this kind of continental scale integrated road network. That was never possible before. It allowed people to move around kind of like they do in the European Union now, you know, from one side of the continent to the other side. And that was facilitated by this interventionist government. I think that's baffling.
And as you've said, you've built on the work of centuries in terms of mapping out the ancient Roman Empire. I can't believe I haven't asked you this before now, but Tom, how much of the Roman Empire did the Romans themselves literally map out?
Yeah, the Romans definitely made maps. There are a couple of very famous ones, but very few have been preserved. What we do have are itineraries. That's kind of where the name of our website comes from. A famous one is the Antonine Itinerary. It specifies how do you get over ancient Roman roads from this place to this place to this place. You take this road, right? That's kind of like a route plan, a GPS of the Romans, really, if you will. But not all of the roads you see here are necessarily built by the Romans. The Romans conquered huge swaths of land, huge territories that were already densely urbanized with a dense road network. And so the Romans obviously didn't destroy that. They just reused it. What we do know is that the Romans then very purposely connected up all those separate parts of their domain to make the entire road network integrated, to make it efficient for armies, for example, to move from one side of the empire to the other, but also for foodstuffs to be distributed from the fields where they are produced to the ports, such that at an empire-wide scale, at a continental scale, this thing could function effectively. And it did for hundreds of years.
The site is called Itinerary, that's itiner-e.org, and it's the result of a lot of work by our guest, Dr. Tom Bruchmans, and a large team as well. Tom, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And we were speaking there with Dr. Tom Brugman, an associate professor in the Department of History at the University of Aarhus. And Tom's the director of Itinerary, which has been described as the Google Maps of the Roman Empire. And the map is free for anyone to look at. So if you're planning a holiday to a part of the world that used to be part of the Roman Empire, you can look it up and find your nearest Roman roads, some of which are still visible and in use today.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.